And it's welcome, Pastor Tom and Iris, for the work. Let's give them a warm welcome this morning.
Hello. We're okay. Good morning, everyone.
No joke?
No joke.
It's no
joke. I was just trying to check on the time, but I can't see my watch. Time's being kind of tough. I had to lay off one of the hands, so
oh,
I can't
boy.
Tell. It's okay. That's enough corn for now. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Wow. So good to see all your smiling, beautiful faces. I have a friend. Her name is Darlene Smith. I know a lot of you know her. She's connected. Her church is connected to Witness to All Nations. Anyway, she asked me to assist her about a couple of weeks ago. She was doing a day of training for a GLOW, and she was using the book of Nehemiah. So I took the book of Nehemiah, and I read it two or three times, and I found it really compelling. And so I began talking to Tom about it, different things that I'd seen in the scriptures. And so he took it, and he began reading it. And I read it a couple of times. And so that's what we've been doing in the last couple of 3 weeks, really, into Nehemiah. So today we thought we'd share some of the things that really stood out to us from that book.
First of all, we'll just talk a little bit about the chronology of this.
Right.
This is the year 445 B.C.
That's a long time ago.
That's before my time.
It is.
Yeah. Nehemiah was a Hebrew living in Persia, serving as a cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes. When his brother came
good
to visit,
job.
I got it right, eh?
Say it again.
He couldn't say that until he was in grade 8 himself.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. When his brother came to visit, bringing news of Jerusalem, Jewish exiles had returned to that city to rebuild the temple. You can read about this in the book of Ezra. But the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, and no attempt had been made to repair them.
Right.
When Nehemiah heard the news, it went straight to his heart, and he began to weep and pray. Not only was he concerned that Jerusalem was vulnerable to attack, but a deeper motive lay behind his concern. The broken down walls brought dishonor to his God.
That's true.
Nehemiah had such a desire for the glory of God and the honor of his great name. Now, Nehemiah was led to go and build the wall himself. The king gave permission to go to Jerusalem, which was a subdivision of Persia. The king provided an escort and wrote letters to governors of provinces through which Nehemiah would pass, giving the cupbearer authority to collect timber and supplies for the work.
Good old King Arta, whatever. Yeah, that was
that's
good.
His name, yeah.
Yeah. Well, as we said, Nehemiah's overriding ambition was to honor God. That was the basis. But not all of his contemporaries shared this desire. When he arrived in Jerusalem, there were two very influential men, Sanballat and Tobiah, and they were very much disturbed, tells us that in chapter 2, verse 10. And they didn't like these plans to rebuild the wall. Bible scholars debate exactly what Sanballat and Tobiah were, but it seems likely that Sanballat was the governor of Samaria, which was a province just north of Jerusalem in Judah, and Tobiah was probably the ruler in Ammon, which was a small land to the east. Now, a third antagonist joins the scene in verse 19. That man is called Geshem the Arab. Historians believe that Geshem was a powerful provincial governor ruling over Edom, Moab, and parts of Arabia. So his land was a large territory to the south and the east of Judah. So between them, these three guys had Jerusalem completely surrounded because, of course, the sea is on the west. They encircled Jerusalem from the top to the bottom. Now, they were very influential and powerful opponents, and they had the potential to stop Nehemiah's assignment. But as we will see, in spite of opposition, accusations, the wall was built and the enemies were silenced. The people, inspired by Nehemiah, gave offerings of money, goods, and manpower to complete the wall in a remarkable 52 days. I was astounded when I read that. Yeah, less than 2 months, they built this whole wall around the city. Nehemiah becomes governor of Jerusalem and sets about leading the people back to morality and true worship through the power of the Word of God.
Now, certain aspects of this amazing story really stood out to us. In particular, what manner of man was Nehemiah who could accomplish such a miraculous feat in such a short time? John Maxwell has a book called The 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader. And I'm going to just say what they are from the book. They're commitment, charisma, communication, competence, courage, discernment, focus, generosity, initiative, listening, passion, positive attitude, problem solving, relationships, responsibility, security, self-discipline, servanthood, teachability, and vision.
Wow. They're all in alphabetical order.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. Well,
hard to believe. Anyhow, so we want to look at some of these characteristics or character traits of Nehemiah. Now, I think we should start with the one characteristic that's not on that list. And what that one characteristic is a willing heart. Uh-huh. It wasn't on the list, but from the first moment that he heard about the broken down walls, Nehemiah wept and prayed to the Lord. By the time his prayer was finished, we can see his heart was willing because he asked God to give him favor with the king.
Right.
Now, famous intercessor Reese Howells says, we should always be willing to be the answer to our own prayer.
Whoa.
I think I better repeat that. That's good, isn't it?
That's good.
We should always be willing to be the answer to our own prayer.
Oh.
That isn't like God. You should tell somebody to go do that. Well, maybe
right.
I should go. Yeah, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send
You're
me.
A little different,
send me.
All
yeah,
right.
That's for sure.
So was he willing to be the answer to his own prayer?
He was.
He was.
He was. Now, willingness opens the door to assignment. God's always looking for that person who is willing. Not necessarily talented or educated or super smart, but willing.
Mm.
Now, look at Nehemiah. He had nothing. He was a Hebrew slave. He had no resources, no money, no plan, nothing to offer for his undertaking except himself. So he willingly offered himself, and God took him up on it. Now, we'll say that again. Willingness opens the door to assignment.
That's good. That's good, Tom.
I wish I'd have thought
yeah.
of that.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The next characteristics we want to talk about is courage. Now, Tom was talking about the fact that Nehemiah had nothing to offer but his willingness. But I think he was a man who also had courage. I do think that. God certainly strengthened him and stiffened his backbone. He was a cupbearer to the king of Persia, a Jewish slave. His job was to pour and serve the drinks at the royal table. On account of the constant fear of plots and intrigues in the court, such as poisonings, was a lot of that stuff went on in those days, the cupbearer had to be a very trusted servant. So that tells us a little bit about the character of Nehemiah as well, that
sure.
the Persian king trusted him. Now, Nehemiah asked God to give him favor with the king, and then he prayed and he prepared for 4 months. I might have told you this story before, but I really think it fits here. I heard it a couple of years ago at Ask for Rain. This was a testimony from a Nigerian lady living here in Regina. She had had an opportunity to come to Regina, to come to Canada and work in Regina. And her husband and her kids were left behind with the understanding that she would be able to complete the paperwork and bring them over to join her very soon. But months and months and months went by, and they were no closer to getting this paperwork accomplished. And she prayed and she prayed. And finally, one day, she said to the Lord, "If I could only speak to the Prime Minister, I know that he could facilitate this and get my family over here." So she prayed that God would give her an opportunity to speak to the Prime Minister. Isn't that amazing? I just love that. I listen, little immigrant lady in Regina, Saskatchewan, praying that God's going to let her speak to the Prime Minister. Very similar, really, to what Nehemiah prayed when he said, "Please give me favor with the king," you know? Back to our lady. She not only prayed, she prepared. She wrote out what she was going to say to Mr. Trudeau, and she practiced it over and over and over in the mirror till she was word perfect. Then one day, it was announced, Prime Minister Trudeau would visit Regina. And the very school that she worked at was on his itinerary. I know, it's quite amazing. She got very excited. So that day, she dressed very carefully, and she went. She stood at the back of the auditorium while Mr. Trudeau spoke to the children. Then at the end, there was time for a couple of questions, and she was waving her hand, but nobody saw her. So she walked right up the aisle as close as she could get, and you could tell the, not Secret Service, but whatever, his bodyguards, they were getting pretty excited. But she came right up close and, you know, was waving her hand. And the Prime Minister acknowledged her, and she was ready. And she just spoke the words that she had prepared in her heart. And amazingly, he turned to one of the staff and said, "Get those details." And then he was gone. A short time later, her whole family joined her here in Regina. Praise the Lord.
Isn't that a miracle?
It's a miracle.
Just something. I had a dream the one night that I was Prime Minister, but I woke up in the morning and it wasn't Trudeau.
That's good. Anyway, I just think of her courage. You know, even in praying that prayer, it took courage, and then to actually do it and to go up there and speak to the Prime Minister, it took a lot of courage. And you know what? It took a lot of courage for Nehemiah to approach the king. As I said, he was a slave, but he waited for his opportunity, and it arrived in chapter 2. All right, it says, "I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you're not sick? This can be nothing but sadness of heart.' I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' Then the king said to me, 'What is it you want?'" Wow. Two things from these verses. First of all, courage is not the absence of fear. Because you notice he said there, "I was very much afraid," but he acted anyway. He did it anyway, right? It's going forward in spite of the fear. And then, verse 4, "What is it you want?" Man, God had opened up the gates, hadn't he? He opened that door. I just love how Nehemiah is so bold, and he just walks right through that door. Whew. So listen what he asked for. My goodness, he wasn't backward. But he was praying all the time. He said, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it.'" So he asked permission to go. And he's not finished asking. Let's look at verse 7. "I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of that citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residents I will occupy. I mean, he went all out. He asked for everything he needed. And guess what? The king granted all of these requests. And on top of that, he sent army officers and the cavalry to accompany him and give him safe passage through those lands. Wow. Willingness and courage took the day.
Isn't that something? How he not only asked for a leave of absence, he asked for the, you know, he asked for the safe escort through these hostile territories, I guess you could call them. But then he asked for all this wood and everything to build the temple.
He did.
Isn't that something? Wouldn't you believe it? Wow. Well, look what happened. The next characteristic we want to explore is initiative. Now, even though Nehemiah did not have a plan, when the king gave permission, he swung into action. Yeah. Now, I think what this illustrates is if we do nothing, nothing will happen. So, so he had no plan, but away he went, far away from his secure job and cushy little life in the palace.
True.
You know, there's an expression, you can't steer a parked car. So he didn't remain parked. He sprung into action and moved.
Yep.
Now, 3 days after Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, this is in chapter 2, verse 12, tells us he did a secret survey of the wall by night. Now look at chapter 2, verse 16. The officials did not know I had gone or what I was doing because as of yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any of the others who would be doing the work. Now Nehemiah had a plan. He didn't have one when he arrived, but as he did the secret survey, God gave him the plan.
Okay.
First, he has to convince the officials. Now look at verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. Like, see, he was a bit of a motivator too,
was he ever?
That's something, I don't know if it shows that in the gifts, but he was able to motivate others to share his vision and get them to catch it.
Yeah.
Now they replied, let us start building. So they began this good work. The plan that God gave Nehemiah was for each householder to build the portion of the wall that was in front of them. They were responsible for the wall closest to home. Now we, the church, the ecclesia, is not building a wall for the glory of God. We are building a kingdom for his glory.
That's right, a kingdom.
And we are responsible for the portion of his kingdom that is closest to home. And we want to talk about this too, about the home first. First of all, our homes. Our houses need to be filled with the presence and glory of God. Our homes to be always open to others. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to others without complaint. Romans 12:13 talks about practicing hospitality. And of course, Hebrews 13:2, it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I can't read this scripture without thinking of Cuba, and I can't think of Cuba without thinking of the hospitality that we were shown there. We had the privilege of going on several short-term mission trips to Cuba, and the Cubans that we stayed with said, oh, you come and stay in this little room over here. You're welcome to stay in this room. You're our guests. They didn't tell us though that was their bedroom they were given up. There was a couple and maybe a little baby, and they were giving us up their bedroom, and they went and slept in a little hall somewhere in the house. They didn't tell us that. And their hospitality of giving of themselves just warms my heart every time I think about it.
It does.
But I mean, that's the kind of a hospitality that we were shown there. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, it really, it touches your heart, of course. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in our homes.
Amen. Amen.
Like, we're not building a wall, really. We're building a kingdom.
We are.
Next, we're responsible for building the kingdom in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. How? Well, we reach out to neighbors, be friendly, be helpful, be kind. I was impressed by our son-in-law, Mark, when we visited there at Christmas. It was very cold out, and lots of people had problems starting their cars. So Mark made sure to carry a booster pack in his car, just in case he ran into someone who needed help. He is so intentional.
Yeah.
He is intentionally prepared to be kind.
That
touches my heart, too, that example.
That's good.
He went and bought one of them at, like, at Canadian Tire, I guess, and you boost other people's batteries. And so that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Now, we're responsible for building the kingdom in our city and in our province and in our nation. Regarding our city, I want you to look at Jeremiah 29:7. And this is a good one here. It says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper.
Amen. That's a great scripture. I remember giving that scripture to our kids when they moved to Airdrie.
Right.
To pray and work for the peace and prosperity of the city, because as it prospers, you prosper. We are responsible for our city. We are on our watch.
Yes, we are.
We're responsible, and we are called to pray for our city. Thanks to Darlene Smith again. She reminded me of that scripture a couple of days ago, and I just remembered what a great one it was. The next characteristic we want to discuss is discernment, recognizing the voice of God and recognizing the enemy. Anytime you go on assignment for the Lord, there's an enemy who will try to stop you. Yeah? It's no different for Nehemiah. I want to go back to the scripture in chapter 2, verse 19. See how the enemy shows up right away. As soon as the decision is made to go forward, as soon as he goes there to Jerusalem, the enemy shows up. Verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, about rebuilding the wall, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you're doing, they asked. Are you rebelling against the king? So I just want to say, one of the weapons that the enemy likes is mockery and ridicule. Loves to ridicule, right? But I love how Nehemiah answered him. Let's look at verse 20. I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. And as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. Now, he said a mouthful there. That's amazing truth. It echoes down the ages to today. When you have an assignment from God, the enemy has no claim. I want you to say no claim.
No claim.
And he has no right.
No right.
No right. No claim.
No claim.
And no right.
No right.
Nothing. That's what that, my friends, is as true today as it was for Nehemiah. This is the Rhema word of God. You just go right ahead and follow the Lord. You obey him. You do whatever he tells you. You take on that assignment and you just say to the enemy, you have no claim and no right. You can't touch me. This is going to happen. The kingdom of God is going to be built. My section of the kingdom is going forward. Amen. No claim, no right. You remember that.
I don't think any Christian would dispute this, you know, that at this time We are clearly in the season of warfare.
Oh, we are.
That's why we're talking about warfare.
Lots of attacks.
I want to read you a few words given by Patricia King on the Jim Gull website. Mm. And this one is titled, When Kings Go to War. Engage, first title is Engage. In the spring, at the time that kings go out to battle, David stayed back, and we all know the consequences. Yeah. Bathsheba, the death of Uriah, and David's spiraling sin. If you are in retreat when you're supposed to be in war, you are susceptible to attack. Yeah. And David really got attacked, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
He did.
And it's time to go to war. We're in warfare right now.
Yeah. Now, posture is important. When the kings went to war, it was with an offensive posture to advance, possess, and occupy new territory. We must not approach this season with a defensive posture or a victim mentality or fear. We are to be aggressive, intentional, and expect victory.
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 Amen.
Say
victory.
It.
Victory's ours. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Victory, victory, victory. That's so good. We're not victims.
That's right.
No.
We're victors.
Victors.
Yeah. And on this note, expect a recovery in 2022 of what was lost in past seasons.
Yes, amen.
When you're at war, there can be distress, but don't stay there. David was in distress when the enemy had destroyed his city and taken all the women and children and possessions. But David didn't go into self-pity. He strengthened himself in the Lord and went out and got everything back. Many things will shake, but 2022 is the year of recovery.
Hallelujah. Yes. Woo! Recovery.
What are our weapons? What are our weapons in 2022? One, decreeing the word of God.
Absolutely.
We decree the word of God.
Yeah.
Well, this next one, of course, we saw it demonstrated this morning. The power of praise.
Oh, amen.
We see this here every week. God bless our praise and worship team and the power of praise that goes out from this assembly here. It's just wonderful. And it not only goes out in this building, it goes out over the airwaves. And all of you out there in TV land are watching too. And you know that the power of praise is really something. It's really something.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
And the third thing we would like to accentuate, which was demonstrated here this morning too, someone did our sermon before we did. And it's praying in the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Femi talked about that when before we got started here about praying in the Spirit and all proclaiming things in the Spirit into the heavenlies and using our secret code, you know, that the enemy can't understand. What a powerful weapon is.
Amen. That's right. Okay, the final characteristic we want to look at today is focus. Now, as in the case of any significant project, problems can arise. And problems arose on the wall. Opponents, all these enemies of Nehemiah, began to cause disruption. I like that. They actually began to attack the people that were building the wall. And Nehemiah had to... Him and his builders, they had to post guards that half the people would guard and half would build the wall. And then before it was finished, even the builders had to have a sword in their hand. So they had a sword in one hand and a brick in the other. So they were building and warring, building and warring. And that's actually the same today. It doesn't change. We need to build. We need to build the kingdom. We need to get at our portion of the wall. But we need to be engaged in the battle also and decree. And
that's right.
Yeah. So it's the two parts where we're army, we're builders, we're family, we're army, we're builders. You know, you just put on the hat, whatever is needed for that time, that's a hat you wear, right? So that's what his gang were, the sword in one hand and the bricks in the other. And the wall continues to go up. So now we're going to go to chapter 6, and we find that the reconstruction and building is nearly finished. Nehemiah reports in verse 1, all I lacked was hanging the doors in the gates. It appears that Nehemiah's enemies will challenge him right to the bitter end. And these final challenges we're going to look at in chapter 6, they're really wrapped up in deceit. It's very sneaky challenges. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, "Come, let us meet together at one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But you know what? He was wise to them. He said, "Oh no, I'm not going to Ono." You know, on the face of it, it sounds good. It sounds like it would be a good thing. Here's the enemy saying, "Come on, let's meet together." It sounds like, well, maybe they want a truce. That's what it sounds like. They say, "Come on out to the plains of Ono." It was a green place and refreshing. "You've been working hard. Come and take a break," you know? Well, he had been working hard. What would be wrong with him taking a break, right? So it's like Satan comes like an angel of light.
That's right.
It comes looking exactly good, but that it wasn't good. But he knew. Nehemiah knew. He had the discernment of the Lord, and he had focus on his task. He knew who they were, and he knew it was just a scheme to get him outside the city gates. It was, they probably wanted to kill him. Well, I know they wanted to kill him. They did, for sure. At the very least, they wanted to distract him and keep him from finishing the task that God had given him. I love his answer. Verse 3 says, "So I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work and unable to come down. Why should the work stop when I leave it and come down to you?'" Nehemiah, he refused to be distracted. Favorite tactic of the enemy is to distract us, to bring something urgent to keep us from fulfilling what's important. How many times, even in the natural, I'm sure we've all done this, you start doing one job, like you're cleaning out a drawer, and then you think, "Oh, this I got to put in the bedroom." And you go in the bedroom, "Oh, the bed's not made." And so then you make the bed. And then, you know, you go from one to another thing, and you never get back to the original drawer, right? It's very easy. We're very easily distracted, I think. But Nehemiah had total focus. He knew his job. He knew his task. He knew his assignment, and he was focused on it. He could see the finish line. Only the doors needed to be hung, and the city would be secure. "I am doing a great work," he said, "and cannot come down from the wall." I don't know what your great work is for the Lord. It's something he's trusted to you, not to anyone else, and he's counting on you to see it through. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Keep going. Four times Sanballat sent the same message to Nehemiah. Four times Nehemiah replied, "I am doing a great work and cannot come down from the wall." I think it'd be a mistake to think that it was easy for Nehemiah. He wasn't immune to the barbs of the critics and the ploys of his enemies. But instead of fighting back, instead of giving in or giving up, Nehemiah turned to the Lord. And we read about it in verse 9. It says, "I asked God to give me strength." So let me ask you, do you think that Nehemiah accomplished his goal of making God famous and bringing glory to his name?
Yes,
yes,
I do.
He did.
For sure.
Absolutely. Let's look in chapter 6 again, verse 15 and 16. "So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul, in only 52 days, as I told you before. What a miraculous thing. Verse 16, "When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid, lost their self-confidence, because they realized this work had been done with the help of our God." Amen. Amen. Even the enemies, everybody that lived in those provinces around Jerusalem, They knew it was God that helped his people. They knew that. So Nehemiah made his name of his God famous because he focused on his task and kept going right to the end. I love how the name of God was known in all the surrounding areas. Hallelujah.
That's something.
Anything else?
Well, I'm just thinking about your example about that one about you're working in the bedroom and you have to be intentional when you're cleaning out your drawers, apparently. I think that's what I got.
I'm sorry I asked.
No, that isn't the one. You have to be focused. You have to be focused. That's the word. Okay.
All right. Well, what we'd like to do now, we'd like to make some declarations here this morning from the book of Nehemiah. So if you just want to stand up, we're going to make declarations over you today, okay? Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
First of all, I decree and declare over this congregation that they are doing a great work for you and cannot and will not come down from the wall. Yes. They refuse to be distracted. They refuse to turn away from the task. They will finish their course.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I declare that the enemy has no claim and no right on them as they put their hand to the plow and refuse to look back. Hallelujah.
I decree and declare that your people here today and listening online are engaged in the battle. They are advancing, taking ground, and occupying new territory for your kingdom.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I declare that 2022 is a year of recovery. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
And as they pursue what was lost in the past, it will be restored to them. Recovery of health. Physical, mental, emotional, recovery of wealth, recovery of relationships, recovery of jobs, recovery of everything and anything that has been taken from them in the past.
We decree and declare this in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Not backing down from any giant. We know how this story ends. Yeah, we know how this story ends. We're gonna see a victory. We're gonna see a victory for the battle. Victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. We're gonna see a victory. We're gonna see the victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. We're gonna see the victory. We're gonna see the victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yeah, you took what the enemy meant for evil. You turn it for good. You turn it for good. Oh, yeah. You took what the enemy meant for evil. Back at ya. You turn it for good. You turn it for good. Let's just declare that over our families, over our lives. You took what the enemy meant for evil. You turn it for good. You turn it for good. We're gonna live the victory. We're living in victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. We're living the victory. We're living the victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yeah.
Victory, turn around, recovery and all. Thank you, Jesus. We're just about done. I know it's Divisional Championship Sunday. People are just yeah, in a hurry here. But man, what a service. What a service. What a service. Can we just end with that? But before we do that, just greetings from Pastors Femi and Remy. They send their greeting. And they thank everyone for their prayers. You know, they had the funeral. On Friday without incident, so everything went well. Both parents, of course, it's sad to say goodbye, but you know, that's all done. Family's doing well, they're doing well now. They just need to get a lot of rest. So they did say to say thank you to everyone. I'm sure they'll be doing lots of talking when they do return, but yeah. Let's go out this week. Make God famous. Remember, trying to remember that tag word. No claim. No claim and no right. We've got the victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. See you guys next week. And enjoy.